If you're not crazy and this works, we might be able to solve the biggest, literally the biggest health epidemic of our generation. I can honestly say that nuclear physics is easier than using nutrition to deliver diabetes reversal and sustained weight loss. And the way we use nutrition is to eliminate hunger and cravings. This is not an exercise in willpower. We have patients who are so happy about the results that they've permanently tattooed our for-profit company logo in their bodies. I've been an entrepreneur since about 2000, 24 years nonstop. And sometimes it's like eating broken glass every day. And if you don't know how to, what truly matters and you're too stressed about a thousand things, I mean, you'll crack.
This is the ProCo 360 podcast for people who love Colorado and love hearing from Colorado's most inventive and successful entrepreneurs. I'm Dave Tabor, and I've been looking forward to this episode. I'm with Sami Inkinen, founder and CEO of Virta Health, a company that's raised over $200 million to reverse type 2 diabetes. Sami and I will talk about Virta Health, as well as the challenges of addressing what seems like a national epidemic of obesity and diabetes. And audience, I'll lay my cards face up here. I think that getting millions of people to change to more healthy lifestyles is brutally hard. It's like almost virtually impossible. So, Sami, I'm glad you're on ProCo 360, and I'm looking forward to hearing how you are doing this.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for having me here and happy to answer any of your questions.
Well, yeah, let's start with an overview of Virta Health. I gave a really broad one. Let's hear your take.
Yeah, well, first of all, on a high level, the reason we exist and the reason I co-founded Virta is our mission, which is to reverse type 2 diabetes and obesity in 1 billion people. So that is the mission. And the way we do it is we deliver these outcomes with a combination of technology and AI-powered clinicians and nutrition. So we don't develop new pharmaceuticals or drugs, but we use telemedicine and our care team and nutrition and lifestyle change to achieve these results. And I know it's an insanely bold claim because most people still think that type 2 diabetes is irreversible, and that the best that you can do is manage the symptoms, such as high blood sugar, with medications.
Yeah.
But no, you can actually reverse the disease.
Well, I believe you. What I'm going to challenge you about is just how you're going to reach a billion results. And we're going to talk about that a lot. But first, what, you know, as you define it, what's the cause of type 2 diabetes?
Well, the interesting thing is that if we had, say, 5 scientists and clinicians here, I don't think they could perfectly agree what is the cause, which is kind of a sad state of affairs because it's 21st century, private companies are shooting rockets to Moon and soon Mars, and we can't fully agree. But I think the consensus today is that type 2 diabetes, which is sort of 95, 97% of diabetes, unlike type 1, is the lifestyle disease. So lifestyle factors result in type 2 diabetes. You have initially high blood sugar, then you have a high insulin levels. And the more higher your blood sugar levels are, the more insulin your beta cells need to produce. And it's kind of a vicious cycle of higher blood sugar, higher insulin levels. You become very insulin resistant, and you end up in this chronic state of very high blood sugar, very high insulin. And then it leads into all kinds of microvascular complications like eyesight, and you lose the sense in your fingers. Your kidneys may blow up. You end up in dialysis, and oftentimes it leads to heart disease. So it is considered a lifestyle disease, and there's a high degree of correlation with obesity and overweight. So that's sort of the general consensus. But I would say, based on our experience and based on the outcomes that we published from our clinical trial and seen in the real world, nutrition is nearly the exclusive and certainly the number one driver of type 2 diabetes. And if you want to improve and reverse it, it's the same tool, nutrition.
Yeah. Now, all right. That's what makes it seem to me like an intractable problem. I mean, okay, so type 2 diabetes driven by human behavior. And, you know, we could argue that foods in the marketplace are addictive. We could argue that other factors sort of drive food desire. But I mean, what makes you think you can actually solve what seems like, you know, an uphill battle against human frailty, essentially?
Yeah. Well, first, I was to say at this point, it's easy for me to speak with confidence because Virta has treated more than 100,000 American adults. We've run a 5-year clinical trial. You know, we are in 9 figures in revenue, growing 60% year over year. So we are an at-scale company that has done it. So I don't have to hypothetically anymore say, but I will say that I didn't introduce myself in terms of my background, but my formal training is physics. I started my career in a nuclear power plant in Finland, and I can honestly say that nuclear physics is easier than using nutrition to deliver diabetes reversal and sustained weight loss. And I will add to this that if you had asked me the same question, let's say 12 years ago, when I had not yet co-founded Virta, I would have rolled my eyes, high-fived with you and said, it's impossible. Impossible. Why? Because let's face it, if it's caused by nutrition, it's our personal choice. And if it's our personal choice and we can't get around it, I don't know. How do you fix that? More willpower. But I would...
Exactly, yeah.
I have to add that I've been eating a lot of humble pie already when we were starting the company because I was, and still pretty good athlete, but I did the Hawaii Ironman triathlon world championship 7 times. I won the world championships in my age group year before my previous company went public, 2011. And then I discovered that I myself was on my way to type 2 diabetes and I already had pre-diabetes. So it was a lot of humble pie to realize that actually obesity and type 2 diabetes is a metabolic disease and nobody personally chooses one Monday like, oh, I'd love to gain 100 pounds and develop type 2 diabetes. It is not a personal choice in that sense. Yet, nutrition is a key driver. But if you don't know what you're eating, if you don't get the right support, end up in this vicious cycle where indeed nutrition causes all these symptoms and the disease, but it is not that people knowingly or willingly develop it. So it's a kind of it's an interesting dilemma, right?
You know, I've often wondered this as I'm feeding my dog a perfect high quality dog food in just the right amount. If someone would do that to me, I could be optimally healthy, right? But that's not the way.
Well, yeah, I will give you sort of, again, we treated more than 100,000 Americans. We have patients who are so happy about the results that they've permanently tattooed our for-profit company logo in their bodies. By the way, I would challenge you to find another healthcare company. I don't know, Eli Lilly, Cigna, Novo Nordisk, whose customers have tattooed the logo of probably zero. But I mentioned that just to kind of try to highlight that the results that we deliver are so life-transforming and almost like unbelievable. Almost we hear this word magical because most people who come to our care, it's not like they've struggled with diabetes for a week. It's usually like 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. They may be on insulin. But here's the key. We use nutrition to manipulate your biochemistry in such a way that you are not hungry and you don't have cravings. So in Virta Care, as we use nutrition to reverse diabetes and deliver sustained weight loss, it is not a willpower exercise.
Wow.
Do it in the right way. And that is the thing that's hard for people to understand because anyone and everyone who comes to Virta Care, they've usually tried 5, 6, 7, 8 dozen diets and they failed every single time over the last 15 years. And then they come to us and say, I don't know if I want to hurt myself one more time. And we have to kind of convince and say, there's a better way. The support we provide, the individualization we support, and the way we use nutrition is to eliminate hunger and cravings. This is not an exercise in willpower.
Well, that's encouraging, actually, because I've got this 10 or 15 stubborn pounds that I think when we're done, you're going to sign me up. So do you incorporate drugs like Ozempic, Wegovy and all these? Is there a balance between drug use and nutrition or is a completely different philosophy at Virta Health?
Yeah, well, first I should say, you know, we are a provider, so we practice telemedicine, so we employ doctors who are full-time employees. Everything we do is evidence-based. And so I say that to just be clear that we are not dogmatic and objectively to address type 2 diabetes and obesity, you need multiple tools in a toolkit, which is to say that in some cases, people may need bariatric surgery. In some cases, they may need medication. However, our superpower, the reason we've been as successful as we have been, and what I think is the fundamental root cause solution to type 2 diabetes and obesity is what you said, which is nutrition. It is absolutely nutrition, not drugs. But I will mention here that in the GLP-1 context, so Ozempic is one of these GLP-1 drugs, obviously approved for diabetes care for first GLP-1 in 2005, so 20 years. But only in the last 2 years, the same drugs or same molecules were approved for treating obesity. So a couple of things that we do, which patients like, and then the payers that we work with, whether it's an employer, we work with lots of companies in Colorado as well, or government entities, is that we can use, if people are on these drugs for weight loss, we couple them with our nutrition therapy, because the drugs do affect how much you eat, but it doesn't change what you eat. And you have to change what you eat to have sustainable outcomes. And then secondly, we've been able to show what nobody else has been able to show as it relates to GLP-1s and weight loss. And that is that we can sustain the weight loss after you are completely off of the drugs nutritionally. In all the pharmacological trials, the second you come off, your weight regains. And so that's another thing that we've been able to show with nutrition. So the answer to your question is, in evidence-based medicine, you can't say you should never take a drug. No, there's a place for sometimes. But our core offering is nutrition as an alternative to drugs and as an off-ramp from drugs. That is why Virta has been so successful. We are not a telemedicine company that's making access to drugs easier. And
that was a question. Yeah.
That is not our reason for existing. We are not an online pill mill, if I may say.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my questions. Like, you know, what is, you know, and you already answered it. My question was going to be, what's the difference between that and, you know, a company you call up, they ask you a couple of questions and they prescribe a drug and that's how they make their money. That's really not your mechanism for profitability. So I'm going to ask you about your mechanism for profitability in a minute. But first, I will say, listeners, I was so impressed on the Virta Health website. The testimonials looked magical, really. I mean, so heartfelt and so wonderful. I can't imagine not being inspired to at least take a look at a new way. Is that what's been your experience, Sammy?
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, you know, I'm a CEO, co-founder. We have something like 800 employees. So a lot of my work on a day-to-day basis is, it's not patient care, it's spreadsheets and investors and hiring and that kind of stuff. So even for me, these patient stories, patient outcomes, and people find my personal email online, send me email notes. And today, so Monday, we are recording this in December. We just had four of our members join our Monday All Hands sharing their success stories. One had, this is insane, but has lost about 200 pounds of excess. Wow. Another had lost 150. Another reverse diabetes. We had five of them sharing their story. And so still, I'm about 10 years into this now. Every single one of those stories, it's like rekindles my fire and reminds me of why I started the company and why the quote-unquote hard work of building a company, which it always is
so
worth it. So it's very exciting and motivating for all of us.
Yeah. And so do you put those stories in front of all your employees? Do they all experience firsthand, you know, some of the satisfaction of your customers?
100%. And it's very, again, every Monday we have an entire company's all hands. So it's like 8:30 or 9:30 in the morning. It is virtual because we have 800 employees all over the country. Every single Monday, one of our patients, we call them members, joins the call, shares their outcomes. My board of directors meeting, which we have on a quarterly basis, every board meeting starts with a member who joins live, usually virtually, and shares their story. So it's
wow.
DNA that it's been important to me to keep it that way, because it's a reminder of who's the boss, who's the real boss, and it's our members, it's our patients.
Well, I delayed sending you an outline because I wanted to get sort of onboarded myself a little bit, and I talked with one of your customer service reps, and I have to say it was a really a pretty lovely experience talking to someone who seemed to understand and wanted to help me understand what the Virta process was about. How many of those people do you have on staff?
Yeah. So the whole company, we're about 800 people today. I would say it's roughly one third sort of software developers, artificial intelligence, like a technologist. Another third is all the other functions needed to run the company, commercial and finance and customer service and so forth. And then another third is the clinical care team who are focused on care delivery. This is coaches, medical doctors, nurse practitioners, and so forth. It's pretty good kind of one third.
Yeah.
And obviously we are growing not quite 100% year over year, but...
Wow.
Yeah.
But that onboarding experience, that was carefully designed by your company, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. Everything's built in-house. Not that we want to reinvent the wheel everywhere, but obviously our outcomes are sort of unheard of, and we are trying to change the whole paradigm from managing chronic disease to reversing it. But then also the tools that our clinicians use and the way we deliver care, it's completely new. It's virtual and longitudinal. So traditional care is you go and see your doctor, I don't know, 3-4 times a year. They have their EMR, electronic medical records, but it's mostly for billing. They punch in some data,
come
back 3 months later. In our care, we track all of our patients' biomarkers multiple times a day. So there's a massive stream of data coming in, not quite real time, but every couple of hours. And so we had to build software that is a whole new system and a platform how a medical doctor treats a patient that they may follow 3 years with a constant stream of data remotely. There's no software for that. And so this is like, so basically we had to build everything from the ground up. And I'm not saying all medical care is going to be like this. You still go to hospitals for surgeries.
Sure, sure.
Particularly chronic disease care and chronic disease reversal. This is the future, because chronic disease is 24/7, not once a quarter when you go and see your doctor, as in today's case.
Yeah, you know what thought came to mind is, you know, you've got sort of a yin and a yang here. You've got one side is the coaching and you know, sort of nutrition counseling and so forth. The other side is this data-driven piece. And, you know, people think differently. Some people would gravitate towards the human side. Other people would gravitate towards the technology side. I mean, as you're talking about both, it's like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, the human side sounded so cool. Now, wait a minute. Are they going to be contacting me every hour to tell me to do this or to do that? Or how do you balance the use of technology with, you know, maintaining sort of a nurturing environment?
Yeah, well, it starts from having the member and member outcomes and safety always at the center of it. So that's always our focus. And then we use technology and things like AI, artificial intelligence, particularly generative AI now, as a vehicle to facilitate that. So I'll give you an example. Internally, our clinicians and coaches, we use this term that we want to use technology to give you superpowers and make sure that you can use you as a doctor or coach more of your time to deliver meaningful care team moments. Meaningful care team moments. So we are not trying to say, hey, let's use AI however we can replace you. No, you are a smart human and also expensive. Let's be honest, much more expensive than a couple of lines of code. We want you to have this special relationship with all of our members. We want you to use your human brain and compassion in the most complex situation. So that could be, and the most complex thing is not to say, you know, rather than a cookie, you should eat a piece of avocado, for example. The most complex care team moment is maybe there's a death in family and nutrition goes out the window and you're just depressed and trying to deal with the sorrow. That's where our coach or clinician can add most value.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to take a quick break. You are listening to ProCo 360, named Best Colorado Business Podcast the last 4 years. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. This is a podcast for people who love Colorado and the stories of Colorado businesses and entrepreneurs. My guest today is Sammy Inkinen, founder and CEO of Virta Health. Hey, thanks to our sponsors. Kinsley Meetings is our longest running sponsor. That company is thriving based on a great reputation for planning and conducting meetings all over the world, also via technologies. Really appreciate them hosting ProCo 360 and all the great help their team gives me around managing the site. Colorado Biz Magazine. Our partnership is one of building our audiences together. And finally, Denver Angels. We're partnering to feature great Colorado companies. Go to proco360.com and check out these partners. All right. I want to come back to AI in a minute, Sammy. First, I wanted to learn a little bit more about your background and kind of put everything in context. I mean, you are a tech guy, and clearly you're interested in health. You mentioned your Ironman fitness, but how did you get into this world and this business?
Yeah, well, like you said, and then maybe one step before Virta. So I came to America 2003 as an immigrant by way of Stanford Business School, and right after that, launched an online real estate marketplace called Trulia, which, you know, was a phenomenal one-decade-long journey, went public 2012, and then Zillow Group acquired us, a year or two after we went public. So my background really has been sort of technology, has been my hammer in my back pocket, and I've tried to use that to solve meaningful problems, which we did at Trulia for people to find a home for buy or sell. And so there's nothing healthcare, right? So it's technology, physics in Finland. So that was my background. And so it goes back to this accidental realization that I mentioned. Despite all the triathlons and being fit and healthy, I discovered that I was on my way to type 2 diabetes, and I already had pre-diabetes myself. And I honestly thought, this is insane. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. How is this possible that a quote-unquote fit athlete is metabolically unhealthy? And I thought, well, if I'm getting this, everyone will have this. Well, sure enough, today, 150 million or more American adults, not even talking about globally, have either type 2 diabetes or struggling with obesity. So pretty much everyone has it. So that got me interested in, and then met with a group of scientists and found a gentleman, Dr. Stephen Finney, who's also Stanford trained and PhD from MIT, although he already had like a 35-year-old career. And I kind of learned most of the scientific basics, and then he became my scientific co-founder. But it's really his research on metabolic health, restoring metabolic health. And he kind of laid the foundation and said, hey, it's ridiculous that we think these diseases are irreversible, because if you know how to use nutrition, if you know how to individualize, if you know how to provide support, which I figured we could solve with tech, you can reverse these conditions. And I just said, unless, if you're crazy, okay, obviously it's not going to work, but if you're not crazy and this works, we might be able to solve literally the biggest health epidemic of our generation, which is obesity and diabetes. And that pulled me in, and here we are 10 years later.
Yeah. Is that how long it took? How long did it take you to actually launch the company?
Yeah. So we started working on it August 2014. So that's now, August 2014. So that's exactly 10 years and a couple of months. Yeah, and then a year later, we launched kind of the first version of our clinical trial. So we had sort of a three-year, I would say, R&D period and clinical trial. And then commercially, we launched 2018, 2019, and we had practically close to zero revenues in early 2020. So I'd say of these 9 years that we've been active, half was sort of R&D phase. And then the last 4 or so years, we've been commercializing. And this commercialization has been, quite honestly, it's been hard, but it has certainly exceeded my growth expectations, because I think we happen to be at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Everyone has heard about Ozempic. Everyone has heard about obesity. Everyone has heard about type 2 diabetes. And unfortunately, there's just more and more and more of that to solve.
Yeah. Yeah. How much money did you sink into this before you got a dollar of revenue?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you mentioned we've raised more than $200 million. It's correct, because it's actually $360 million.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And again, it's sort of a vanity metric to celebrate, because I'd want to change the world with $0 investment if I could. And just to give you a proxy or kind of a reference point, Trulia, which, you know, merged with Zillow for $3 billion plus, went public, we only needed $33 million of equity from zero to IPO. $33 million from zero to IPO. And now we've raised $360 million. Now,
wow.
I will say that we still have a good chunk of that in the bank, and we are absolutely on our path to profitability. So we don't need to raise more capital to our IPO, which is definitely in the foreseeable future. So But that's 10 times more capital needed than Trulia. But it takes that, given the kind of R&D and clinical trial period during which we had zero revenues, it also takes that to build. It's a very complex product. We literally have doctors with human lives in their fingertips, virtually. And then the go-to-market and the commercial engine is also very complex to build because we sell to employers and health plans. And these sales cycles can be 1 to 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. Where does your revenue basically come from? What percentage, or maybe that'll change over time, but are you selling to insurance companies? Are you selling to employers? Are you selling individuals? How does that mix work?
Yeah, nearly 100% of our revenue comes from the category of payers, and then individual patients have free access to Virta. So if you're struggling with diabetes or obesity and your employer or health plan covers Virta, and hopefully eventually everyone covers, we will treat you for free. We will treat you for free. So the clients that we sell to, it's broadly three groups, all of which cover healthcare costs in America. So this includes self-insured employers. So about 100 million American adults get their health insurance through their self-insured employers. Then there's health plans, whether that's Cigna or Humana.
Sure, the big insurance companies, yeah.
But they have their fully insured members, so they are also clients. And then, of course, they serve these employers. So they're kind of a channel partner for us. And then mm-hmm. the third group is different sort of federal and state sort of government programs. So this could be the VA. This could be the Department of Defense. This could be some Medicaid, some Medicare fee-for-service. So those are the three groups. And we obviously want to work with all of them. Today, majority is employers, self-insured employers. These are large Fortune. We work with 500
makes sense
plus organizations. Wow. About 30 health plans, and then a couple of government organizations. We also work with the Veterans Administration, and have worked with them for 4 years now.
Well, that's exciting too. Thinking back on your experience with Trulia, you know, as a past entrepreneur, you bring lessons forward. Can you think of two or three things you learned along the way, your entrepreneurial journey, that you brought to Virta Health that really made a difference for you?
Yeah, I mean, there's many. Obviously, sometimes people say, oh, you learn more from failure. My opinion is, when you succeed, at least you know one way to be successful. But yeah, there's many lessons I pulled from the Trulia zero to IPO and, you know, $3 billion exit to Zillow, which investors and employees were very happy about as well. I'll mention a couple. One is the importance of sort of well-defined values and consistent culture. And defining that early and then cultivating along the way. And it's kind of the glue that keeps people together. You can either do it consciously or it happens haphazardly, which usually doesn't end up well. So that's one. Sounds very fluffy, but it is very important. Second one is, particularly for the founder and the CEO, but for the whole team, is the ability to know what are the two or three things that make all the difference and how and why you can ignore the 2,000 other tasks and to-dos you have. And that clarity keeps you alive and sane. I've been an entrepreneur since about 2000, 24 years nonstop. And sometimes it's like eating broken glass every day. And if you don't know what truly matters and you're just stressed about a thousand things, I mean, you'll crack. You burn out. You have mental health issues. I've been doing this.
There's a great book called The One Thing. Don't know if you've seen that one.
Gary Keller.
Oh, great.
He was my client at Trulia.
Oh, really? Wow. What a great concept that, you know, essentially if you focus on like one thing, a single thing you do is probably worth 80% of the outcomes.
Yes.
You know,
and it's like a magnifier class. If you want to start a fire with the sunlight, you need to put the pointy in. So that's the second thing. And that can radiate down to the whole company because clarity of thinking, and you never have enough resources to everything. So always, okay, in this phase, these are the two things. Next phase, those two things. So that's the second thing. And then the third, I would say, is just sort of, I say perseverance and grit. If you're roughly on the right track, just not giving up and always also optimizing for not going out of business, whether it's COVID or money not available. I often say that if you have a good product market fit, that you're in the right place at the right time, surviving is thriving. Surviving is thriving. And there's a lot of growth companies, they go too hard, raise too little or too much money, and then they kind of drive it off the cliff. So that's very, very important. And then I will say the last one, which I did not learn at Trulia, but I learned through, I guess, a mistake for Verta, and it is the following. It's incredibly important to crystallize the reason for existing, your mission, basically. We didn't have that at Trulia. It was like, oh, let's do a real estate website. Now we have, it's reverse diabetes and obesity in 1 billion people. And I can't tell you how powerful it's been for decision-making, how powerful it's been even for me, motivating me, how powerful it's been in raising capital from investors. Say, this is why we're here. Do you believe in it? If you believe, you're going to have a great return. Recruiting, or even talking to people like you, like we can talk about all the nitty-gritty details of what we do, but this is why we're here. We're reversing diabetes and obesity in 1 billion people. Happy to talk about the features, happy to talk about the economic model, happy to talk about 1,000 details. But at the end of the day, that's what we do. And if we succeed even part of it, it was more than worthy of all the effort.
That's a great lesson. And I think to the extent you talk about, you know, a narrowly, tightly defined, passionately defined mission makes a lot of sense. And you started by talking about values and so forth. And that one does sound loose, not because it's not real, but because when you go to most websites today and companies talk about who they are, they list all of these values, be brave, be, you know, be direct, all these things that they, and, you know, they spent like a weekend shut up in a cabin somewhere coming up with these things. But, you know, I would agree with you that a tight mission is even more important than values.
Yeah, would potentially, yeah. I will say on values, to me, when you scale a company to hundreds of employees and beyond, there's two ways to keep it sort of together. You either have a 1,000-page rule book, so like a rule and editing and everything to do, and then you hire whoever, yeah, and you don't have to trust them. Or you hire smart people, you trust them, you unleash them and say, here's a couple of values that help guide your decision-making. And my approach has always been the latter. Hire smart people, trust them, give them agency, but I have some guidance in the form of values. Like, this is how we think about it. Like, ours, one of our values is people first. Another one is no assholes. Another one is evidence-based, so always use data in decision-making. And so I personally believe that we've been able to replace a 1,000-page rule book. And by the way, there's a lot of Fortune 500 companies and big government entities where, like, you literally have a 1,000-page rule book. Like, can I do this? How much can I pay for this? What do I do here? It's like, page 784, you know, bullet point 4. I'm like, give me a break. I would kill myself working that.
So do you think, I was going to ask you as one of my wrap-up questions about the future of healthcare as it relates to management, weight management, diabetes management. It sounds like you believe you're living the future right now.
100%. We just want to make it evenly distributed and evenly available. But I will mention this again, it's December 2024. We have a new administration coming in on a federal level in America. And whatever people might think about, you know, the administration, there's one theme that has been now repeated many times. It's called Make America Healthy Again. Make America Healthy Again. And the thesis behind it, we're going to ignore the very details, but thesis behind is we have to use nutrition to address our chronic disease crisis. We cannot prescribe drugs ourselves out of this mess. And I will say that that is exactly what we at Verta have been saying since 2015.
Well, let me ask you this.
Disbelief, people, you can't reverse diabetes. Yeah. Give me a break, nutrition. That's not going to work. So I'm actually excited that there are people in very visible positions soon pushing this agenda. So I hope that a slice of the future of American healthcare is to make people healthy.
I hope you're right. And I mean, there was just a story today on the radio that United States is having so much difficulty banning red dye number 3, which is a petroleum-based product. Like, we know that our foods are engineered to be addictive. We know that, you know, our food system has been driven by a desire for sales over health. And we know that. Is it possible in your mind in this country to, I mean, that is a brutally difficult force that you're pushing against.
Well, we are doing that every day with phenomenal results. And I honestly, and again, I mentioned patients taking company tattoos, and we see it in hardcore outcomes. And most importantly, the most conservative Fortune 500 companies you can think about, United Airlines, UPS, Papa John's, AutoZone, U-Haul, like these companies work with Virta and they pay for this. Why? Because it works. It's not easy, but it works. I will say Virta alone probably won't help 100 million plus people. I hope we will. There are other decisions such as food environment, maybe policy, maybe awareness. Mm-hmm, so I hope people who are more patient, I guess, work in the government and policy and awareness. Maybe there's even innovation. But what we are doing 100% is working. And now the question for us is, are we going to be known for the company that helped million people or 10 million or 100 million? Obviously, if we go past 100 million, we have to go global, which we want to, but it's definitely working. Now the question for us is, are we climbing to the top of Lookout Mountain or to the top of Mount Everest? And I'm hoping.
Yeah. Now, I got two more questions for you. One has to do with the coaching that you're doing, and you mentioned the use of AI. You know, there's been lots of stories about people who become, their personalities become connected with an AI bot, an AI personality. Do you ever see Virta having AI-based coaching and counseling and encouraging, you know, characters for your patients throughout the day?
We are, honestly, we are absolutely huge believers in human-to-human powerful care team moments. And I would say my safe prediction now is that we can use AI to better facilitate actual human-to-human connections and save our human care team member time to the very most important moments. I'm not dreaming of sort of replicating humans with AI. That's not our goal. Is it possible that someone, I don't know, it sounds like a little bit of a depressing future. I'm sure people will try to do that. But our belief is a little different, that the human...
I understand. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I could see, you know, a well-trained bot that's trained to talk to me. And I say, gosh, I'm thinking about eating this donut. Oh, Dave, let me direct you to some... I suppose it could happen. But okay, last question. I asked you some things, some lessons that you learned. As you think about going forward, Sammy, what advice do you give yourself right now, you know, that you'd like to follow and make sure to do the best you can at growing Virta Health?
Ah, wow. That's a good question. I think, we'll try a couple. Number one is, now that we have this scale, you know, 800 employees and growing very fast, it's very easy to be busy with the kind of the critical thing in front of my nose. So I think one advice I would give to myself is, make sure you find and allocate absolutely open white space time to always take a step back and ask yourself what needs improvement or what's around the corner. Because that is my number one job as a CEO, to see around the corner. I'd say that's one piece of advice. And then the second one is, unfortunately, there's the companies like Starbucks and Nike and even Target, they've struggled quite a bit. These are large, very successful companies. So I think my advice would be to not follow their path and therefore never forget the core. Why do we exist? And who's the final boss? And we exist because of our members, our patients, and the phenomenal outcomes we deliver for them. So as we scale and maybe have more financial pressures, I have to remember not to manage the company by numbers, but by focusing on the end user, the member, their outcomes and their safety.
Can you do that? Can you do that with owing 360 million reasons for people to be saying, hey, focus on the financials?
100% I can. And I, as long as I'm the CEO and as a founder, I actually believe, well, first of all, I can say with confidence that the reason we have been as successful as we have, the reason our clients pay what they pay and they pay a good price, good margins for us, is because of our outcomes. So everything starts and ends with the patient outcomes, which in our case is, again, reversing type 2 diabetes and delivering sustainable weight loss.
Yeah.
So the better we do that, the better we get paid, and the better, more scalable the business is. Now, it's not obviously either or. You want to be smart. You don't want to be wasting money and you know, using technology in the right places to automate things. But I am absolutely a huge believer that when companies lose the sight of what truly matters and why they exist, which always should be, at the end of the day, the customer or the client, they go by the sideways. And so when you have, not to throw all the hired gun CEOs under the bus, but usually what happens is when founders leave companies, hired gun CEOs abroad, they start looking at the P&Ls, the profit and loss statement, and they get excited about the numbers and start doing their tricks to move the numbers as opposed to the product or service that's delivering value to the clients. That's usually the beginning of the end. And I think we saw that at Nike. We've seen it in Starbucks. We saw it in Target, and these companies are, and Boeing, and all these companies are trying to do a turnaround.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is definitely true. And that's why, you know, you wonder, like, okay, what happens when you guys do an IPO and now there's, you know, someday there'll be a different CEO and everybody's going to expect quarter over quarter growth of X percent bigger than the year before. You know, it's that's a challenge, but yeah.
I've done it before, and it can be done. Honestly, American capital markets are phenomenal, meaning very liquid access to capital. If you think of any large company that we admire, like a large American company, it's a public company. It's a public company for a reason.
Yeah.
Even Walmart is a public company, and so it can be done. Amazon is a public company, Microsoft public company, Apple, Google, Meta. NVIDIA. Being a public is a useful tool, but it's a tool. It's not the end. It's not the goal, but it's a useful tool. And it's difficult to have a category leading large company unless you take full advantage of the American capital market.
Yeah. What made you decide to move to Colorado?
Well, we moved our headquarters from San Francisco, California to Denver, Colorado a couple of years ago. I mean, honestly, it was a pretty easy decision. Was more pro-business environment, quite honestly, Colorado than California. It was easier to find the kind of talent we were looking for, which is actually high-tech talent. And then thirdly, for our existing and new employees, there was much more desire to live in Colorado than California. And I'll give you just sort of a practical example. Any of the San Francisco, California-based team members who came to visit our Denver, Colorado office, pretty high percentage, like a year later, wanted to move to Colorado. Nobody moved to the opposite direction. And so we just thought it's best for our business. And then we are a healthcare tech company. Colorado and Denver actually has a pretty good concentration of that kind of talent. Mm. And so it just felt like the right thing to do.
Well, hey, let's wrap on that note. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. Today on ProCo 360, you've been listening to my conversation with Sami Inkinen, founder and CEO of Virta Health. And Sami, it's been great to have you here. And I'll be looking forward to you going public sometime in the next whenever.
No, no comment, but I really enjoyed the conversation.
Excellent. Hey, listeners, glad you're here on ProCo 360, where we say live, work, love Colorado, because you and I and my guests can be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You make the show successful by subscribing to the ProCo 360 podcast. If you haven't yet, it's a huge help if you review it in your app. Thanks again to show sponsors Via Technologies, Kinsley Meetings, Denver Angels, and Colorado Biz Magazine. That's the show. Live, work, love Colorado.